The Voice America Business Channel is brought to you by Intercall, the worldwide conferencing leader. Check out easy and reliable conferencing solutions at www.intercall.com/radio.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The internet continues to shape how we do business. It's where prospects decide who to buy from, you or your competitor. Welcome to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby, the live radio program that gives you strategies for smarter web marketing.
Welcome to Generation Web. This is Matt Dalby, smarter web marketing for savvy businesses. Today we're going to discuss two questions that every business leader wonders about or has at one point thought about. The first, should I be marketing more on the internet? The second question, so then what should I be doing online to market my business? Should I be on the internet is the first question, and once I'm on the internet, what should I do to reach interested prospects when they're ready to buy? We will discuss both of those questions today and answers to those questions to help you connect with interested buyers. Clothing styles come and go. The portable CD player came and went. Thank God and thank you, Apple. These are all fads. And I'm sure you can think of some fads yourself, whether it's a clothing or a style fad, technology fad that has come and went. We can all think of funny fads from high school, clothing that we wore in college or high school, and that we are glad are gone. You look back at old photos and think to yourself, why did I wear that? But I'm here to say, online marketing is not one of those fads. It is one of the rare things in the world today that is here to stay. In fact, Forrester Research estimates continued double-digit growth in online marketing over the next 3+ years. But what does this mean for your business? And with so many choices, which types of online marketing deserve prominence in your specific marketing mix? So in this episode, you will learn 5 practical insights to help get your business moving in the right direction online. Buyers are online now more than ever. What we want to do is help you learn how to get found by them at the right times and in the right places, or electronic places in the case of the web. That's what we're going to talk about today. Let me share some quick statistics about online marketing and the web in general, and then I'll let you decide if online marketing is in fact a fad or a fundamental shift in the way we communicate. And the following statistics that I'll share came from the Social Media Revolution Refresh 2 video on YouTube. 24 out of the largest 25 newspapers continue to report record declines in circulation. And that was as of last year. There is a fundamental shift in how buyers, both business buyers and individual consumer buyers, are purchasing today. They're buying on the web, and they are in control of how they buy and where they buy more than ever before. It took the radio itself 38 years to reach 50 million users. It took 13 years for television to reach 50 million users. The internet, 4 years to reach 50 million users. The iPod, 3 years, short amount of time, seemingly, to reach 50 million users. Now listen to this. It took Facebook less than 1 year to reach 200 million users. The iPod application downloads, when they hit the market, hit 1 billion downloads in only 9 months. That is a fundamental shift in media and the way people view information, consume it, and make decisions. How is the web relevant to your business? So you might say, okay, I've heard those statistics. I get it. I understand that the web is growing. It's not going away. Tell me something I don't know. And to the second question that I opened the show with, and that is, so we want to be on the web, right? We're a business, whether small, large, international, local, geographic, you know, regional, whatever our geography is or who we're trying to reach. Regardless, how can we reach the right people at the right time? What should be in our marketing mix? For your business, you have to obviously mix in the appropriate types of online marketing, because just to say doing online marketing or web marketing is not enough. The next question is how and where. Well, that question I cannot answer for you. I'll say that up front here. I don't know if anyone can answer that question for you, obviously, without knowing your business. So the listeners here on the show today, very diverse in types of businesses, in your customer base, your prospects, who you're trying to reach. So what we will do today is give you some insights, some questions to ask yourself, to ask of the leaders in your business, to help guide you through, to help walk you through the process of saying, where do I need to be to reach my specific customers at the right specific time? The first of those tips that we want to talk about is looking through all the different forms of online marketing that are available today, it's easy to latch on to new marketing forms on the web, whether it's social media or whatever the case might be, and say, that is the newest, coolest form of marketing. I want to be doing that. And I don't know if you've ever heard that question from someone, you know, I want to be doing that, or why aren't we doing this, or why aren't we doing that? Everyone else seems to be doing it. And that is not the right question to be asking. The right question to be asking is, does that new form of marketing have the potential to drive real results for my business? Because every business is different, and there are nuances that apply to one business that might not apply to the same business across the street or across the world. So we'll walk through some of those questions that are applicable for your business that you can ask of yourself if you're in the marketing department, or of your leadership, or of the other departments in your company. So I have a little bit of a story to share here. When I was a child, my father made a cake. He baked a cake, and he was going out on a limb baking this particular cake. He was trying to be creative, and I give him kudos for that, because I am not as daring when it comes to cooking. In fact, when I wake up in the morning and make my toast, I'm happy if I don't burn it. It makes for a good day if I haven't burnt my toast in the morning. I'm not a cook. So I'll give my dad kudos for this. So what he did is he baked a cake with some of those, one of those alternative sweeteners. I'm sure you know the ones I'm talking about. The ones that on the back of the package might say, do not use in cooking, or might results may vary, that type of thing. Well, he used one of those alternative sweeteners, and at first glance, that cake looked great. And me and my brothers, we dove right in. It looked great. But as soon as we took a bite of that cake, not a word had to be said. You could have heard a pin drop. We were all looking at each other, trying to be polite, of course. And I'm sure we were all thinking the same thing. Am I eating a bite of cake, or am I chewing on a semi-sweet piece of styrofoam? And that analogy fits so well with new fads in terms of online marketing, because there are forms of marketing that may not be applicable to your business that would be applicable to another type of business. So the importance is to learn from others, from their mistakes. And my dad, I have to say, the next time he baked a cake, it tasted great. He learned from it. That's what we don't want to have happen to you. We want to give you the opportunity to learn not the hard way, but learn from what has worked on the web for others. So that was a just a little anecdotal story to just illustrate the fact that it's important to try to distinguish between what is just the latest buzz in terms of online marketing and what's actually going to drive results. And, of course, at the end of the day, it's always important, regardless of what you do, to test, test, test. Once you launch an online marketing campaign, no matter what it is, no matter the marketing medium or what you're doing, always test to make sure that it's performing and giving you the results that you expect and that your manager expects to see long term. Okay, so we talked about, we're going to talk about five different questions to ask yourself to help you decide what you should be doing on the web. What should be in your marketing mix? What should be the ingredients in your cake, if you will, in your marketing cake, so that it tastes great and not nasty, if you will? So we're going to talk about that here in a minute. And as we walk through these, ask yourself the question, how does this apply to me? How does this apply to my business in my particular scenario? What are my business goals? What are my marketing goals? And what do I want to accomplish? Because, like I said, it's specific to your business. So we're going to go to a break really, really soon here. And when we come back, we will jump right into the five questions you should ask yourself and your business to help you decide what you should be doing on the web to include in your web marketing mix.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. The modern world has experienced fundamental era changes from the industrial age to the information age to the age of complexity. Technology and globalization are rapidly changing the world we live in. Yet our way of thinking and the conversations that drive our decisions are stuck in the past. To find prosperity, business and communities need the skills to learn new ways of thinking and find the right conversations to move comfortably into the future. How can you sort it all out? Tune in to The Science of Change with Dr. Barbara Berry and Lise Inman, Thursdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
You want to know the inside scoop on how today's leaders do business? How they hire and develop top talent? How do they retain top employees and customers? Tune in to Leadership Leverage on the Voice America Business Channel. Every week, Dr. Robert Denker will offer ideas and facilitate discussion with guests that will help shape today's up-and-coming leaders as well as established leaders in their fields. Listen for Leadership Leverage every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
Welcome back. If you are joining the show for the first time, today we are discussing online marketing more than a fad. And we've just finished discussing the importance of online marketing and why businesses should be on the web today and why the web continues to grow in popularity and its ability to reach interested customers, whether they be business customers, business-to-business customers, or consumers, whether you're trying to raise funds as a nonprofit for your cause. The web is a place to do it today, now. So So we're going to segue into talking about, and I've promised this, and we're going to get into it right now, the five questions that you can ask yourself, of your business to help you decide what you should be doing on the web, what should be the ingredients in your web marketing mix. First item, or first question, has to do with the whether or not you want a short-term direct response as a result of your online marketing efforts. Do you need to drive leads, sales, or funds for your cause, if you're a nonprofit, quickly? And that's the key phrase there, quickly, in the short term, 3 to 6 months. If the answer to that question is yes, then we need to walk through a few different items that can be helpful in thinking through that. How are people already actively buying what you are selling? That is the answer to that question will have some, help you gather the intel necessary or the information necessary to move forward and say, even though I need to get quick results right now, let's say you just started up your business and sales are zero, and you need to grow that business right now, and you need some quick response campaigns in the short term that don't take 9 to 12 months or longer to grow to the point where you can maintain your business long term. We'll get into long term direct response marketing in a second, but in the short term, first question to ask with any type of marketing, and again, it may sound like an obvious question, but first is a qualitative intel or the qualitative learning. Ask a few of your current customers how they would find your business if they were going to research and then buy from you for the first time. Now, it's important how you phrase this question when you go to talk to one or more of your customers, preferably a few of your customers, because you don't want to ask something like, how did you buy from us originally? Because if you're talking to a longtime customer, they may not even remember how they came to buy from you or find your business in the first place. Second, if they are a long-time customer, and even if they bought a year ago, then how they bought from you a year ago or 5 years ago might and likely is completely different than how they would buy from you today. So ask the question of your customers again. If you were looking for us to research our company and what we sell today, how would you buy from us? That will give you, the answer to that question will give you a sense for where your customers are looking for you. And of course, you can go beyond that as you discuss that, and you'll learn from this exercise by talking to your customers. And to boot, it's always good to talk to your customers. To boot, they are going to be very happy to hear from you. Every customer likes to know that they are not forgotten about, and of course, even in larger companies, this is probably more prevalent than not. It's easier to get disconnected or separated from your customer base. And so to periodically ask them questions like this and others is a very important thing and can give you some great, very insightful, and very valuable insights. How would you buy from us if you were going to buy today is basically the question there. Buyer behaviors are changing all the time, and so that it's good to ask them what their take is on that. And again, we're talking short term. You need to get short term results quick. You don't have time for a very involved, costly market research study to try to figure out the answers to your questions. Although there is a place for that, and although that is extremely valuable, if you need quick response, ask those qualitative questions of your customers. In the short term. Second, the quantitative intel that you'll need to determine where your customers are today. You can do some quick initial keyword research, is what it's called, with some free tools out there on the web to find out how many people are searching for what you sell in a given month. These types of tools can give you an idea of the current demand for what you sell and also can show some trending. Are people more or less interested this month than they were last month or 3 months ago? And there's many free keyword research tools out there, and they basically gauge how many searches are being done on a search engine like Google or Yahoo or Bing. Those are the three major search engines. So you just want to get a feel for the market demand for what you sell and in what quantities, because you might find that, you know, people aren't really looking for what I'm selling, under this particular terminology. Maybe they're using similar or different terminologies for what you sell, but without the research, there'd be no way to know. So a little disclaimer about keyword research. There are a lot of factors that go into it. For instance, if you were looking on the web and trying to figure out how many people were searching for what you sell, the next question is, of course, well, I want to be found when they're looking for me for those particular terminologies on the web. If a keyword research tool says that there's 1,000 or 10,000 searches for a certain phrase or terminology, that's a good thing. There's a market demand. But the next question is, how do I get found when those people are looking for me? And that gets into search engine optimization, paid search marketing, or pay-per-click marketing, which we won't have time to get into during this episode, but we will go into great depth about that type of marketing in future episodes. So tune in again for that in the future as we hit on those very important topics moving forward. But as you're thinking about, you know, there's a certain number of search volume, I need to get found, there might be a particular market that is very saturated. In other words, there might be a lot of competition. And so there are some niches on the web that can be tapped into. Let's say that, for example, your customers are looking for you using a certain terminology, you know, 80% of the time. Chances are your competitors might already be there. Where the money is, the businesses will follow. So it's very important to understand that there are a lot of factors that go into keyword research, and it requires some expert input from a search marketing agency or a search marketing professional to understand. Not only is there a lot of volume, but am I picking the right niche markets on the web in terms of which keyword someone is searching on? If I can get a niche market where 20% of the time people are using certain terminologies, for example, and none of my competitors are there, that's a wide-open opportunity. And, of course, it depends on your business and how you're trying to reach interested prospects. So there's a lot of factors that go into that, but we just basically just wanted to touch on that topic of keyword research to help you gauge market demand on the web. The second question I just mentioned is a bit leading, I admit, in terms of I said at the beginning that I wouldn't tell you what type of marketing you should be doing. I'm not saying you should be doing search engine marketing. I'm just saying those types of tools are very good. But search marketing is great. I'm a big fan of it. One of the best ways to get quick leads, sales, or money for your cause is to do some paid search marketing. As we touched on a little bit before, what that is, basically, if you look at, for example, Google, the ads that show up on the right-hand side and sometimes rotated through at the very top of the page, those are ads that are called pay-per-click, P-A-Y-P-E-R-C-L-I-C-K, pay-per-click, acronym PPC. So pay-per-click ads are paid, you can get those through the search engines like Google or Bing, Yahoo. And they give you an opportunity to quickly get some ads up and some visibility on the web. And it could literally take a matter of weeks to have advertisements running on the web. And they're not just any advertisements. They're ads that are showing up in text form that provide enough information to pique a searcher's interest. And they give you the opportunity to be seen when someone is searching for what you sell. So customers are out there every day, prospects are out there every day waiting to break down your door to buy what you sell. All you need to do is be found. And then, of course, once you're found, then you need to, of course, give that customer or that interested prospect what they are interested in, provide them value once they come to your website, once they come to your Facebook page or wherever you want that destination to be for them. So paid search marketing is a great way to market to folks on the web, interested prospects, and it's a great research tool, like I mentioned. As you move along and continue to test with this form of marketing, you will learn what people are searching, how they're searching, and so forth. I just want to have a quick disclaimer here. Paid search marketing or pay-per-click should not be confused with search engine optimization or SEO. They are completely different. The results that you will see in Google for paid search ads or pay-per-click ads look similar, but what's under the hood, behind the scenes, what drives an organic listing through search engine optimization is completely different than what drives a high ranking for a pay-per-click or a paid search ad. So just a quick disclaimer, though. For the short term, paid search marketing is a great fit and a way to avoid having to create a bunch of costly, time-intensive, creative for an entire, let's say if you're going to do a direct mail campaign, for example, you don't have to do all of that sort of stuff that's involved in a traditional type marketing venture. Paid search marketing can go to market very quickly with it. It's a great way to get quick leads, business for whatever you're trying to market for your product or your service. And as we're going through this show, just remember if you have questions, email them to me at matt@genwebmarketing.com, and that's spelled GENWEB marketing.com. Take your questions. If you have questions, I'll try to address them here live on the air. With that, we're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back in a few minutes.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. The generation of the web is now. Your competitors are on the web, your prospects are on the web, and they're looking for you. So, are they finding you, or are your competitors getting the business you deserve? Tune in to Generation Web with your host, Matt Dalby. Gain critical insight that your business simply can't live without. Generation Web airs live Thursdays at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time, 2300 UTC on Voice America Business.
Technology is intended to improve our lives and solve the world's problems, but technology in itself is a complex myriad of concepts, ideas, and security. How do we sort it all out? Tune in to Technology Today with host Ajay Gupta. The program will go inside the world of technology with innovators, engineers, CEOs, and government officials. Our topics will include green technology, healthcare technology, and cybersecurity. Listen every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune in to It's Your Money with host Bill Pfeifferlich. You'll get an eye-opening education about some of the misconceptions of the financial world. If you are a business owner, working professional, or successful American, you will benefit from the information on our program. Our guests will include financial service professionals, international tax and estate attorneys, and CPAs. We'll identify solutions that you can implement now to get the most of your money. Tune in Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for It's Your Money on Voice America Business. Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business. You are listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
Welcome back. We are talking about online marketing more than a fad, and we have just been discussing types of marketing, or a question that you can ask yourself, rather, when trying to determine what types of marketing to do if you need quick results in the short term. Now we're going to transition into talking about long-term direct response programs, or programs that you you need to that will help you generate a longer-term, more sustainable flow of either leads, sales, or help you raise funds for your cause if you're a nonprofit, for example. But again, with any form of marketing, you must always ask the question, we must always ask the question, where are my prospects buying? Where are those hot spots, if you will, on the web where people are looking for what I sell? This concept may seem very basic, obvious, 101, if you will, but you would be surprised how often businesses and even large companies just shoot from the hip when it comes to marketing. Understanding what the market needs and where they are is very important. However, different from short-term web marketing efforts, when looking more to the longer term, more in-depth market research is recommended. If you have the time for it and the resources, of course, it's important to do marketing, more in-depth marketing research rather than the quick and dirty type of research you would do if you're looking to do launch some campaigns that need a quick response. And marketing research, we're not going to go into detail about it, obviously, today, but I want to mention that when you think marketing research, I think a lot of people have this impression that marketing research, they hear the word, it's almost like a four-letter word sometimes. It sounds like work, you know. You have to sit down with a big focus group of people, or you have to write up a bunch of surveys and send them out to the correct sample of your base, of your customers or prospects, and do all this statistical analysis. That is part of marketing research. Very important part, actually. But it's not the only part of marketing research. That's called primary research. There's also secondary marketing research, which you can do on the web, which you can do various ways, talking to your customers, that sort of stuff, which is actually a little bit more obviously on the primary side of research, primary research side of things. Excuse me. But secondary research gives you the opportunity to go and find out what research has already been done by someone else that I can learn from and glean information from, to learn about my buyer's behavior as a business and other key success drivers when it comes to reaching those interested buyers on the web. But also continuing to do some keyword research, like we already touched on, through search engine keyword estimator tools that are out there. Google has one. There's others out there on the web that are very good as well. That's always a must. It's quick and easy, and the value it provides is in some cases, you can't even put a price tag on it. This sort of research was not even available a few years ago. This type of research is so invaluable for your business. I cannot stress that enough. Finding out what the demand is and at the same time learning what terminologies people use to talk about on the web, what you do and what you sell is vital, because you and I are the same. I mean, it's easy to get lost in the trees. I do it every day. Get lost in the middle of the forest, and you have certain things, ways that you refer to certain products or services that you sell that may be completely different than your prospects and how they refer to what you sell. So that is an important consideration when thinking about how to reach people on the web, specifically with paid search marketing or SEO, search engine optimization. So the difference between, and I think we've already touched on this, but just to reiterate, the difference between paid search marketing and search engine optimization at a high level is the first, paid search marketing, trying to reach visitors on the web. And the reason I keep harping on search marketing is Forrester has done a study, like I mentioned earlier, same study I referenced, showing that search engine spending on search engine marketing in the United States is the largest area of spend for U.S. businesses going into the next 3-plus years. That is where lion's share of businesses in the United States are marketing how they're marketing their businesses on the web is through search engines. So that's kind of a side note, but that's why I harp on that, I guess for lack of a better term, so much, because it is so important. And you're finding prospects when they're interested, which is a great fit for trying to get direct responses from interested prospects. Different from if you're trying to just brand your business, which we'll segue into in a minute. But paid search marketing, kind of circling back to our discussion about that, is really you're paying for performance or you're paying for rankings to some degree. There are a lot of other factors that go into that, but for all intents and purposes, it's on a bidding basis and you pay every time someone clicks on your ad. With search engine optimization, which has to do with the results that show up in a search engine in the middle of the page, it's all about perspire per click. In other words, search engine optimization is all about, you know, rolling your sleeves up and doing some work or having an agency do the work for you. But it's all about having a website itself that is relevant and able to be found by interested prospects on the web, on search engines. It requires a lot of changes to a given website in terms of content, the technology back end aspects, the code that is behind the scene on your website. So that's search engine optimization. Paid search is more about managing those actual campaigns in like a Google AdWords, for example. So they're definitely different. But both should be done in the long term. Because in the short term, you can start with paid search marketing or pay-per-click and try to get some quick response. But over the long term, search engine optimization, it is a different form of marketing in that it takes time to move up high in the rankings in Google, for example. So you want to do both if you're looking for long-term sustainable business or leads. Of course, it depends on your business and a lot of different factors. It's not always the case. Obviously, the campaigns have to be structured correctly and have to be managed effectively. So nothing is there's no such thing as a guarantee of success on the web, but there are some great tips and ways you can reach interested prospects if you're looking to market in the long term. The third question to ask relates to branding. So is one of the goals of your business to promote your brand? And if it is to become more well-known by name, by your prospects online, then, and frankly, when isn't it, right? Large businesses, small businesses, well-known brands, little-known brands alike are always trying to continue to have as many people as possible and all the right people know about their brands, because brand awareness is so important and brand perception is so important when it comes down to the point of a prospect deciding whether or not they're going to buy from you, whether it's an in-person sales call or on the web, whether or not they're going to buy from you or your competitor. It's all about trust when it comes to branding on the web. Branding is different from lead generation and direct response campaign marketing. Looking for a person or prospect on a mission, if you will, looking to buy something now or get something right now, is not as much of a concern when it comes to branding. If your goal is to get your name out there and simply brand your business and make it more well-known, then you should not have the expectation of getting an immediate response or a direct response from an interested prospect. It's not as important. You just want to be found. You want to be seen. But you still want to be there in a big, impactful way, in a creative way, even if you don't get a direct response. Keeping in mind that good branding supports successful direct response campaigns. So a well-branded company, well-known company, prospects are more likely to buy from that company than one that is little known. Some types of online marketing that are good fit for this type of marketing, for branding your business on the web, include online display or banner ads, social media marketing, search engine marketing, website design and usability, the user experience once someone's on your site, and that experience plays into the perception that someone has of your brand. Social media, to use that as an example, is a great way to give your business a personality, to let people know that you're human, if you will. Social media can be a venue to be more creative and fun than otherwise possible or generally accepted, I should say, in other forms of marketing. So that's a great way to get started and brand your business. It's not an immediate response in every case. Social media takes time to build, unless you have a viral campaign, which is very difficult to fabricate, if you will, sometimes, most of the time, viral campaigns, campaigns that, you know, I'm going to forward to my friend, and that friend's going to forward it to their friend, and they're going to forward it to their dog and their grandpa and their gerbil. Those types of campaigns that spread like wildfire are few and far between. So that's kind of an exception, of course. But it is definitely important to use social media to give, like I said, a personality to your business. And remember, even if you're a business selling business to business, you're still selling person to person. You know, there's this perception that consumer marketing is somehow more fun or you can be more creative. I think that's a false perception. I think it's the way things are in most cases, but it doesn't have to be that way because, again, it's P2P, not B2B or B2C necessarily. You're selling to people. People want to know they're buying from people, and people, every person has a personality and a sense of humor. So social media gives you an opportunity to be a little more creative and catchy, and if you're catchy and you're fun and innovative, people will remember your brand. And they'll come back, and they'll have a good perception of your brand and your business as opposed to a competitor who's maybe more ho-hum and kind of a little more reserved. Of course, it depends on your business, depends on your industry, and how you do that. Of course, it's important to make sure it's done within the confines of, you know, seeking advice from your legal department, making sure you're not saying things that you shouldn't, that sort of stuff. But needless to say, having a personality, infusing humor into online marketing to elevate your brand can be very effective. You know, any business must build some degree of trust before they can garner new business or new prospects, new buyers. All strong human relationships are built on trust, among other things, of course. Business relationships are no different. So as you look to build your brand, consider online display or banner ads, social media, search marketing, whatever it might be, website design, usability, all of the above maybe or more. We don't have time to go into all these in detail during this episode, but we will be discussing each of them in detail in future episodes and have more topics in detail, detail these topics in more detail, you know, for your business as we move forward in future episodes. But the common thread throughout all this type of marketing when it comes to branding your business is that you want to be a thought leader. You want to be seen as an expert, that you know what you're doing, that whatever you're selling, service or a product or good or whatever it might be, you want there to be trust in the mind of your buyer. You want them to understand that what you have to buy is quality, for example. And you do that by becoming a thought leader in your business. And we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break here.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Are you looking to soar with the eagles instead of being grounded with the turkeys? Why not have a gorilla help you out? Listen every week for Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl with host Joby Dixon. Joby has made a living out of helping organizations and individuals become more creative, inventive, and innovative. The show closely parallels Joby's book of the same name. It'll include the process to innovate, how to rewire your brain for creativity, exercises, case studies, and more. Tune in to Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Business.
Intense and intelligent. Catch Kevin, unscripted and uncensored, keeps you informed of the ideological, theological, and economic war being waged against the United States of America. Kevin Lehman's bold and brilliant style challenges your deepest held beliefs and provokes you to ask the hard questions. Religious, scientific, political, or financial, Kevin is holding the establishment's feet to the fire. With high-profile guests that include politicians, economists, theologians, and business titans, he'll demand truth over tradition and facts over fiction. full of passion, wisdom, and wit. Kevin's transparent and no-nonsense style make Catch Kevin unscripted and uncensored, the go-to show for real insight on business, politics, social issues, and breaking news. It's time to get real, America. It's time to tackle the tough issues head on. Tune in to Catch Kevin, unscripted and uncensored, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
Welcome back. We are talking about the third question that you can ask of your business, of your marketing department, to help you determine what types of marketing you should be doing on the web. And that question is one of the goals of your marketing program or your business to brand your business in a greater way on the web? And if the answer to that question is yes, then becoming a thought leader is very important. Let me just do a quick definition of that. According to Wikipedia, thought leader is business jargon for an entity that is recognized for having innovative ideas, end quote. So depending on your industry, there's a good chance that becoming a thought leader will set you apart from most of your competitors. This can be done in many ways, as mentioned before. You know, for example, let's talk about how you can brand your company via search engine marketing. We seem to be touching on that subject a lot today. If I am interested in researching a topic, if I don't even know anything about what you sell. Let's say, for example, I am on the web and I'm trying to, I have a need and I'm trying to find and learn more about, let's say, baby clothes, for example. I don't even know, first thing, about what type of baby clothes are the best for young children in terms of whether I should choose organic cotton for the clothing I'm going to buy for the pants of my child or the shirt, or if I should go with something that's, you know, just the traditional cotton, if you will, that's non-organic. What are the pros and cons? And in that thought process, as I have that need to have clothes for my children, very basic need, right? although kids don't like to keep those clothes on when they're little. They like to run around. You know how that goes if you have children. But if I'm looking for that and I'm trying to figure out and make a decision, there's going to be a research phase where I'm going to be on the web Googling or Binging or whatever the case might be, trying to find out more about the difference between organic cotton versus not. So there is an opportunity to be branded, have your business branded in that process, because when someone's researching a topic and they're not quite ready to buy, you definitely want to be found when they're looking for you. Or if they're having discussions on Facebook with their friends about what type of cotton is better than another type, you want to be a part of those discussions in one form or another. Because even though they might not be ready to buy, you want to be able to influence the buyer through the entire buying life cycle at the point of research, discovery, exploration, and to the point where they're ready to buy, and then everything in between. And search engines give you that opportunity to do that because research is, that's where research is done for the most part. If you're found for a listing, you're not necessarily going to pay for it. Let's say you put up have to put up that direct response short-term campaign, right? You're launched a pay-per-click or a paid search marketing campaign. You're getting found on the web. Well, guess what? People are seeing your ad, and you're not paying a dime unless someone clicks on that ad. Of course, that doesn't include if you're, you know, paying an agency or an employee to do that work for you. But on a variable basis, you're actually branding your business for free for all intents and purposes. If you compare that to direct mail, for example, a traditional offline type of marketing, I'm going to have to pay to get an ad or a creative put together and designed for that direct mail piece, that postcard, for example. I'm going to have to pay to get it mailed out for the postage. And I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, that someone's going to see that at the right time, that I'm getting to the right decision maker at that company, for example. But with paid search marketing, you're finding interested buyers when they're looking, and if they don't click on your ad, they're still seeing it. And that's key. If someone's seeing your ad and they're an interested prospect, and they continue to their research process, and they continue to see your ads as they're researching for different variations of a given terminology or search phrase, you know, cotton pants versus, you know, maybe they've been there searching on cotton tops, cotton onesies, organic onesies. You know, if you're getting found all throughout that buying life cycle, that's opportunity to brand your business. And the more someone sees your business, the more likely they're going to be to buy from you. The fourth tip or question to ask yourself is, are you marketing to customers? That might sound like an odd question, marketing to customers. Yes. Forrester's Stephen Noble states, in the customer lifecycle, quote, in the customer lifecycle, the journey never ends as customers continually engage with brands and their peers and process new information and experiences, end quote. Think of this as an ongoing conversation, a conversation that doesn't stop at the point a sale is generated. Once the sale is generated, you have a customer that you need to stay involved with, because that customer will tell other interested prospects about you if you're doing a good job for them. And what they're saying is important. If they're saying bad things, then of course that's going to reflect on your business and could hurt your business. But if you are engaged with your customers and marketing to them through creative online marketing techniques like online closed communities or public communities that are just for customers or otherwise via Facebook or a custom-built community or staying in touch with them via email, newsletters, and otherwise, social media even, publicly recognizing them on a Twitter or Facebook page saying thanks so much for your contribution to this or that. Those sorts of pats on the back, those sorts of making customers feel like they're important can go a long way. The fifth and final question to ask yourself when deciding what should be in your online marketing mix is, are you supporting offline or traditional marketing? There are some opportunities to tap offline marketing with online marketing. If you're going to trade shows, I'll give you a scenario. Let's say you're going to a trade show. You have a speaking opportunity there at that trade show. During the trade show, it's important to be on, depending on the trade show, but it's often important to be on, let's say, Twitter, communicating with people live, real time, sending out updates. I'll give you another scenario. You put out a press release, okay? You do a media interview. What's going to happen after that media interview or that press release when it goes out? Most likely, and I've found that what happens in most cases is people go to Google, they go to Bing, and they do a search. They want to learn more about who you are. They just saw a thought leader piece. They just saw, man, this guy or this company is an expert. I want to learn more about what they do and what they sell. So they're going to go out and they're going to do searches. So it's important to have maybe some paid search ads or be found in search engines when after an event like that, even if it's offline, like a trade show or a press release, and then having a landing page to capture that business when someone is interested in finding your website and really closing the loop. It's all about closing the loop between offline and online. So in closing, put to action what I've shared with you today. Your homework for this week, if you will, should you choose to accept it, send me an email at matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's genwebmarketing.com. Let me know how you applied what you learned today. Because the more you apply, the more you learn. And the more you learn, the more you'll uncover opportunities for your business. Until next week, all the best of success in all of your web marketing adventures.
Thanks for listening to Generation Web. Please join your host, Matt Dalby, again next Thursday at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time for another show full of great web marketing strategies on the Voice America Business Channel. Until next week, continue the discussion and get exclusive insights at www.genwebmarketing.com. That's genwebmarketing.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.